Oh yeah, we back. We back. Overreaction Monday. First one of the playoffs.
Shit, you know the
first man to man ever playoff overreaction Monday.
Yes, sir. You know the vibes.
What's going on, man? Super wild card weekend.
Crazy weekend. Good football, though. Good football, crazy football, bad football, everything. exactly what you expect. You know what I mean? First weekend of the playoffs, so.
Yeah, man, those three games on both days, man, I was on that couch all day watching all them games, man.
Hell yeah, good content, man.
What's your number one takeaway from the weekend, man? Number one off the top.
Number one off the top, man, it's a new season. It's a brand new season. So obviously what you do during a regular season, it matters to a point. Obviously it gets you to the seeding aspect of it. But once you start to play those games in the playoffs, man, it turns up another notch. So, everybody who's in the show, man, they got an opportunity. And obviously, as we seen last night, the Cleveland Browns, they came out. They showed
you said
out.
You said they could I be said, a sleeper.
They could be a sleeper. They could definitely be a sleeper. And 28 points in the first quarter. Definitely didn't expect Pittsburgh Steelers to come out and play how they played, especially the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, man, they on for another week.
They still in it. My number one takeaway was obviously happy for that. That bullshit narrative to get off of Lamar Jackson, him getting his, thank you so much, him getting his first win in the playoffs. You know, he had only had two. We'll see, 23-24. And so, yeah, man, I was happy for him for that. But, yeah, let's get back to that Browns game, man. Browns Steelers.
Yeah.
I literally the worst game of the weekend, I would say, is that Saints-Bears game.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it, man. I was watching on Nickelodeon, though. That was dope. I'm sure the kids enjoyed it. They did a great job. Nate Burleson did a phenomenal job, just straddling that line of, covering, commentating on the game and then educating at the same time to the people who not, especially kids who are not too familiar. They did a great job with, tending to the kids. So that was super dope. But that actual football game was bad, man, for me. I actually took a nap during that one. Did that?
What didn't you like about that game?
The Maserati Mitch fooled us, man. Money making Mitch, man. It was, and not even that. I feel like after the first quarter when Wims dropped that, they ran a trick play. Mitch dropped a dime on him.
Yep,
right through his arm in the touchdown. And I feel like kind of after that play, like it was just the Wims were knocked out of their seat. Yeah, it was even not only just on offense, on defense as well. Mm-hmm. Like Saints got, I feel like every third and medium, third and short, the Saints ran an option route, something at the sticks, got the first. Like it was easy pitch and catch. Or third and longer, they run a little option route, get the catch, then get the yak after to get the first. So it was just super frustrating. It looked like the Bears, I don't know, the Bears looked like they laid down. I was like, man, let me get this nap in real quick. I already been on this 2-day marathon.
Yeah.
Got a nap, woke up. Mitch Trubisky won the MVP. For Nickelodeon, the Browns were up 21-0. I would have said either the beginning of the second quarter or the end of the first. I'm like, yo, what the? I wake up in an alternate universe or something?
Yeah, man. That what I'm on as far as the Bears and the Saints, man. I thought the Bears were going to put up a better fight. Obviously how they ended the season. We always was talking about just the momentum going into the going into the playoffs and. It was the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the money making Mitch, Maserati Mitch, and obviously it didn't fold out or pan out how they expected it to pan out. But the Saints, man, you had Michael Thomas back, AK yep. was rocking, Drew Brees, man, it wasn't Drew Brees of old, but being a vet that he is, he took what the defense gave him. I think the Saints defense, man, they was rocking as well, man. So
yeah,
I think it was a well-rounded game for the Saints, man. I think we both had the Saints.
Same, man.
Yeah, we both had the Saints winning anyway, man. So
Yeah, you know, hats off. You know, we had the Bears covering though. We both had the Bears covering too. We thought it would be a better game than that. But well, you know what? We won't even get back to that game. That's pretty much it on that game. But
yeah.
Let's jump back to this Brown Steelers though.
Yeah, man, the shit, man. The first snap, you know, Pouncey, man, he snaps it over Big Ben's head. You know, shit, the Browns, they recover it in the end zone. Shit, seven-oh. I bet, you know what I mean? Let's wipe our hands with that. Shit, we can come back and do some other thing. Shit, Big Ben throws a pick. So you know, they start off on the wrong foot, man. And just that whole first quarter just looked crazy to me. But the biggest thing, though, as you know, like a lot of times, some teams don't capitalize on those mistakes. And what Cleveland Browns did, they capitalized on those mistakes, man. They got up 28-0 in the first quarter. I don't care what offense you got, that's an uphill battle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's an uphill battle. And even though the Pittsburgh Steelers, they tried to fight their way, they tried to claw their way back into the game, which they did. But, you know, 28-0, you dug a hole so deep that it was hard to climb out of.
Yeah, it's always going to be hard to climb out of that. But it was just shocking that Steelers came out like that, man.
Came out like, flat. But, shit, but we talked about it. The previous week.
We talk about it going into the game.
Going into the game. We felt as though, like, you know, even though Pittsburgh, you know, had their seed and locked up, we both said we feel as though Pittsburgh should have played their starters at least for the first half.
At least the first half. They were coming off their best half of football against the Colts.
Yeah.
That they had probably the last month and a half of the regular season. And, you know, even though they had some older guys, you know, they wanted to rest like Big Ben and TJ and stuff like that. But I don't feel like we both didn't feel like they had that luxury, really. And you see how it turned out for the Bills. You know, Bills played, put a smacking on the Dolphins, came into the playoffs hot, and then made plays down the stretch to beat the Colts.
Yeah.
And, you know, different teams, different situation. It's always, you know, managing your team. But we said, man, we're going to see how that turns out for the Steelers. They were also missing Joe Hayden, obviously missing Bush and Bud Dupree as well. But, you know, no excuses, no explanations, man. Browns came out. They played ball. I've been doubting them damn near all year. You said they would be a sleeper with that two-headed monster in the backfield. You know, play well on defense. You know, well enough. Once you go down 28, you have a 28-point lead. Like, you know, the offense is gonna put up pass the yards. So
even with you saying that, I'm watching the game and I'm like, okay. Even in my mind, I'm like, all right, D coordinator for the Browns. Like, don't take your foot off the gas. Don't get comfortable. And they started doing that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They started getting comfortable. And they started picking them apart a little bit. But, again, that offense was flowing, man. The two-headed monster, Hunt, was toting the rock. And it was just, you know, and Baker, man. Three touchdowns.
That run Hunt had when Spillane got him at, like, the 4 or 5. I saw the replay. But them boys came out.
They came out ready to play. And, obviously, you know, with the remarks from Juju, the Browns are the Browns.
Now, as a player, you know, because I hear, you know, some players say that doesn't motivate them. Some fans, they're not sure, does it, does it not? I know it would definitely have some extra motivation for me, you know, especially being a division rival. He come out, hey, yeah, you know, Browns is the Browns, you know what I mean? And obviously you saw the post-game celebration with the Browns in the locker room and stuff and everybody. So obviously it was on their mind. But you know how it is, man. When you're in that building and the Browns, I feel like they're the epitome of it's only us. You know, it's us against the world. Nobody believes in us. And that's really all you need in that locker room. That's the mindset you got to have. So definitely salute. Shout out to that Browns team, you know, Baker Mayfield. And they did it against all odds pretty much. No practicing, no head coach.
Yeah.
Their old lineman. Now, I'm concerned with them going into, you know, the Chiefs, obviously, for obvious reasons. But that old line, that old line got banged up in this game, and you know, they were already coming in kind of banged up. So Baker Mayfield said he actually introduced himself to one of the old linemen in the locker room before the game. So it's gonna be crazy how they manage that going up to Kansas City. But like you said, they always got to punch a chance.
Yeah,
two backs with in the backfield, man.
Nah, for sure. And you know, with the juju, the players in the building, they definitely heard it. You know what I mean? But I think the motivation came where, you know, when you hear the media talking, oh, they don't have a chance. They haven't practiced all week. They've been on Zoom calls. The head coach is not going to be on the sideline. I think that's where they got a lot of their motivation because I don't think nobody was giving them a real punching chance. Obviously, the juju, you know, you hear that, you know, as players, like, I bet, you know, we hear juju. So obviously that's why you heard and you seen all the crazy stuff after the game. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, everybody TikToking or whatever, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But yeah, man, the Browns, man, their confidence is through the building right now, through the roof.
Through the roof, yeah.
Through the roof, man. So, you know, it's going to be tough next week.
It's gonna be tough, man. It's the offs, though, man. It's the offs. Yeah. How you feel about as a player, former player now, recently retired? Shout out to that. So how you feel about? Because I put a tweet out there last night. Like, all right, when I start running my team, man, shit, after week 12, we practice once a week. We out of the building by 1 o'clock. Walkthroughs, meetings. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that whole, you know, practicing prep? Because me and you were having conversations about it, like, damn, okay, we know they're going to be fresh, but, you know, is this a week you want guys getting them practices, getting them hits, running those live reps? Like, so how you feel about it now that we've seen how the Browns came out and performed?
It depends on your team. So you running your team, you're going to know your team better than anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Where I feel as though some teams you need to be in the building probably longer than, you know, 1 p.m. You know what I'm saying? But if you have a veteran team, if you have great leadership, if you have guys that you know you can count on when you leave that building, that you know they're gonna go in, they're gonna go into the crib, they're gonna get that film study in, they're not mm-hmm. gonna be out running the streets. I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for it. But if you have a young locker room that hasn't really been there that much, you know, I kind of want them in front of me as much as possible so we can make sure everybody's getting the right amount of information, the correct information. So definitely if you was running your team, you know, I would definitely love to be on your team. You know what
that's
saying?
What I said. Hey, I know I'm getting all the 30 and up free agents.
Hey, D Buck, like what's up? You know what I mean? But hey, you definitely gotta just know your team. You gotta know your team. Hey man, we got Pops in here, man. Shit.
Yeah, Mike Pop, man. He said, so this is Mike Pops Adams. Follow his podcast, Be a Pro podcast, man.
Yes, sir.
Guest on there. So he said he played there with the Browns, obviously, for 5 years, and I thought they would still lose when it was 28-0. He was glad to see him finish like they did, man. I was glad to see him finish, too, man. I'm happy for him, man. Now, to answer this question, do I believe – I mean – I gotta believe in him now, man. He proved himself on the big stage, bright lights. He made, you know, even when they were up,
and he made some good throws.
Yeah, there were times where it was like, man, I would just be handing the ball off to them guys right now. He made some big throws, he made some big reads, even put himself on the line sometimes, running for some of them first downs. So his team, you could tell his team rallies around him. That city starting to rally around him. So I got to be a believer in Baker now, man. I like him, man. He's a little petty in the media, too. Turned his hat backwards for Colin Cowherd, man. I like that type of shit. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I love it.
I love it, too, man. You know, it screams confidence. It screams mm-hmm. confidence. And you kind of mentioned it before as far as, like, playing that position, man. You want that position to be your leader. Your leader in the locker room, on the field, and off the field. And he's, you know, you can just see he's confident. He's having fun. You know what I mean? And that's what you want, man. That's what you want.
Got feeling dangerous. What else, man? I got to hit this real quick. So, obviously, Steelers Nation upset for the loss. Rightfully so. You know, rightfully so. Obviously, you come out the gate 11-0 in the season. Like, that's automatic Super Bowl expectations right there. If you don't win the Super Bowl, at least get to the Super Bowl, it's a failure. So, to lose your first game against the Browns. I know y'all upset, but the whole fire Mike Tomlin. Come on, man. Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. Stop it.
Stop it, man. Come on. 14 years, no losing season, Super Bowl champ. Like, come on, man.
Man, I don't
know how many wins. Stop it, man.
And I hate this, man, just because people don't understand how hard it is to find a great leader to lead your team. And I'm talking about as far as coaching, as a head coach. You know what I'm saying? To say that Mike Tomlin never had a losing season, that speaks volume on what he's doing in that organization, that building, and the belief that his players and the organization have in him. You know what I'm saying? So whenever it doesn't go your way, shit, it's going to happen. That's going to happen sometimes. You know what I'm saying? That's going to happen. But you just can't – one bad situation, you ready to get him up out of there. That's even with the quarterbacks too. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take your time. Like, these are crucial positions that don't come by often. You know what I mean? Often.
Now we're gonna go to the quarterback, man. Do you think that was Big Ben last game? You saw him sit there after. You saw him, you know, chopping up with Pouncey. You saw the tear coming down. Possibly. Like, after every offseason, you know, he says, you know, he kind of mulls retirement. You think this is his last game? You think it should be his last game? What's your thought? I'd probably do like a 40 bag next year or something like that.
So with that, yeah, it's your last year. You know what I mean? If you can come back on and we reconstruct your contract.
I ain't reconstructing shit.
I respect it, but this is going to be your last year. It's just tough, man. I just think I could understand if like the running game was going well. They don't have a run game. He's very – like, he's a statue in the pocket now. So what he used to do as far as being able to prolong plays and escape extended the pressure, extending plays, like, that's not there anymore. So it's something that you got to look at. And then you got to just look at where the division is going. You got a young Baker Mayfield, and you got a young Cleveland Browns team that's coming up. Obviously, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And then you go out there, the Cincinnati, when Joe Burrow will come back. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So you just gotta, as an organization, this is where you sit back, bring Big Ben in the office. You gotta give him that respect, and y'all gotta have a tough conversation.
Yeah, I think he come back one more year. Anybody know how much he's due next year? I think I know he done made a ton of money, but if you got 35 plus on the books, like 30 something crazy, like, yeah, I'm gonna come back. Even if I go out that first game,
even with me thinking that, we got to have that tough conversation. Being that GM,
come on, man.
Being the 41. owner,
41.25.
Stop it! I'm gonna get with you. I'm gonna get with you. Hey, I'm gonna get with you.
Yeah. If that's the case, but like I said, he done made a bunch of money, man. His body done been through a lot of shit. He done won multiple championships.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, in my opinion, first ballot.
For sure.
So if it is a wrap for him, man, hey, hats off to him, man. Great career.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the next game, man. We'll touch on it real quick. We already hit on it. Saints Bears. Like I said, the Nickelodeon thing, I think that was the best part about that game. Nate Burleson in the Nickelodeon cast covering it. I had to turn it off, though. I was tired of hearing Sheldon pop up.
You know what? I didn't even know they were showing that game on Nickelodeon.
Oh, man. Yeah, you should have had the kids watching that, man, because they had the, you know, a lot of the kid hosts.
My son would have loved it.
What was your favorite Nickelodeon show coming up? Did you have one?
Nah, I wasn't big on Nickelodeon coming up. I was Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I was a Scooby-Doo Flintstones guy, Scooby-Doo Flintstones, yeah. The Smurfs, the Jetsons. That was kind of my.
Damn, I forgot how old you is, man. But the Jetsons. I watched a little bit of Jetsons, but what I did watch on Nickelodeon was Doug. Doug was my shit.
Doug was cool.
Rugrats was cool. I never really got into Kenan and Kel or nothing like that, but yeah, they did a good job with the Nickelodeon, the slime. Sean Payton got slimed after the game.
I see he had the fresh J's on. He had the 11s
on. The fresh low Concords.
Yo,
he got some swag to him, man. Yeah,
he probably got 3-4 pair in the closet. So he knew what he
was. Yeah, they got some swag to him. But yeah, man, they did a good job with that, man.
That's dope.
That was the best part from that game. But so the Ravens Titans. Kicked off yesterday's action, man. Obviously, it was some beef coming into that game.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, I think it was the Titans, you know, Malcolm Butler and the Titans, you know, beefing with Hardball and them, you know, standing on logo, all that shit. Mm-hmm. Ravens got it back.
Yeah.
Got their bike back.
Ooh, I love that shit, boy.
We both had the Ravens winning that game. Yeah, man. What in eight? Derrick Henry. That was the question coming into the game. You know, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. You know, how do you stop it? Who would you rather tackle? Blah blah blah. We talked about the Ravens bringing in Calais, drafting drafting Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
You know, Pernell McPhee was a dominant force yesterday. Brandon Williams, I don't think he was in there the previous game. So that looked like a completely different game. Held him under 40 yards, which is crazy. What was your thoughts on that game?
MVP of the game for me, Baltimore front seven. That was the MVP. Obviously, Lamar, you know what he did. 300-plus all-purpose yards. But that front seven and the way they stopped that run, it killed the whole offense for Tennessee, because obviously we know that that offense runs through Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? So as far as the run game, it opens up the play action for Tannehill. Mm-hmm. But to be able to shut down and close down that running game, I tip my hats to as we said, Calais Campbell and company. And what they was able to do, man, it was crazy. And you seen on the sideline with Derrick Henry walking and, you know, Mike Vrabel went in his ear, whatever he was saying. But and it was crazy because I'm seeing people like Derrick Henry's running soft. I'm like, yo, he's running the same way he's been running all year. It was just the emphasis that I know Baltimore put on stopping the run. If we stop the run, we'll win the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what we talk about every week, bro. Like, when you get into them offs, it's different, bro. It's like the playoffs in basketball. Like, it just changes. Like, you see during the regular season of basketball, up and down the court. Once you get in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, like, you got to be able to run half-court sets. You got to be able to do different things. The big-time players got to show up and do something out of the box. You know what I mean? But, like, Baltimore coming into that game, you already know 22 is everywhere in that facility. Like, we stop 22, we win this game. We force 17 to beat us.
Yeah.
And any defense out there know, but they feel much more confident about 17 beating them as opposed to 22. So shout out to Wink Martindale and that defense, man, from the front, you know, front back. Them boys ball, man.
Yeah. At the beginning of the game though, it was looking a little shaky though, because the boy AJ Brown was out there eating.
Yeah.
But then I think, once again, that's
if y'all gonna beat us, that's how you gotta beat us. 17 and 11. Then we gotta take 11 out the game and the passing game.
Yeah, for sure. We can do that. What I liked about it as far as the DBs in the secondary, they seen and understood how the refs was calling the game. Because obviously that first touchdown on Humphreys, I felt as though it was a push-off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's playoff ball. And I think from there they went to the sideline and, you know, kind of discussed, like, look, they letting us play. And the way they were able to come back from that, and you know, it was good ball, man. It was good ball. Again, I'm happy for Lamar. Get that monkey off his
very
back.
Very happy for Lamar, man. Hollywood showed up and balled.
Hollywood showed up. Yeah,
shout out to the Broward County Ravens, man. Both the boys, Broward Cats, man. I love it, man. I love it.
I absolutely love it.
But yeah, that was definitely OPI. King got the throne. So post game, and we got to talk about Marcus Peters ending the game as well with the pick. Then going back to the logo.
The logo.
I said, I love this shit.
Hey, you should have seen me in the crib, bro. I got up.
I was hyped.
I love that shit. Hey, the OG.
I didn't care about the penalty or nothing.
Nah, nobody did. The OG Ed, though, man. OG Ed was like, Ed Reed, he had tweeted something. He was like, man, we got to win with class, man. We got to win with class. I feel you.
You know, it's always. But. Mike, this is Mike again. Pops, man, he say, Mike, you a company guy.
Don't put that label on my guy. Don't put my.
I'm messing with him. I think Lamar should have shook hands with the QB. Thoughts? He came out and said, "Shake hands for what?" What's your thoughts on that? Let's go back to, I guess, what Ed said. You know, win with class. Ed, old school. You know, he won a lot. I definitely respect his opinion.
I feel where Lamar was coming from. The emotions of the game, the situation, what they did, standing on the logo, and we know Lamar, he's a dog, you know what I mean? So I get the emotions, but I do get where Pops is coming from, where you, like we talk about, being that quarterback, you the face, you know what I'm saying? MVP, a few years ago. So I feel as though he should have came out and shook Tannehill's hand. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Like you said, man, emotions were high. I feel like this was talked about beforehand because I you know, watching the, you know, I'd be trying to watch everything. So seeing some of the guys, as soon as the game was over, some of the Ravens was like, hey, we straight to the locker room.
Straight to the locker room, man.
We ain't like, because it's beef, you know what I mean? So if it's up there, it's stuck there for me. We've seen Brady walk off the field many times. I've seen from Lamar since he's been in the league, he's had the utmost respect
for everybody.
Media, for his teammates, for opponents. So seeing the game, you know, people giving him the middle finger and sit doing the game. I don't got a problem with Lamar winning that and running off. That's my opinion.
I don't have a problem with it neither. You know what I'm saying? That's like I said, emotions, man. He's a dog. It's like, look, you know what I mean? We out of here. But you know, Tannehill ain't had nothing. I don't think Tannehill had anything to
do. Yeah. I understand. I get it. You're the quarterback. You're supposed to, you know, but
and Brady be dead wrong for that shit. He be dead ass wrong because when he wins, he be looking for him. Like, hey, where you at? Hey, give me a hug. You know what I'm saying? Shit, my nigga, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Back up.
Or if it's a, you know, old vet like a Drew Brees you know, one of them old heads. He done been in the league, had a bunch of Peyton. Like, he ain't doing Peyton.
So, like, he be dead wrong for that. He be dead wrong.
He did Foles like that. When he did Foles like that, I'm like, come on, Tommy. You done. Yeah. I know he got you in the Super Bowl. I know he got you again doing the. Like, come on, man. Go shake that man hand. But, hey, I ain't got a problem with it, man.
Lamar, yeah, it is what it is. On the next week, man. On the next week, you know, sure.
Speaking of Brady, he went in there and handled business on the road. Watched the football team, looked a little shaky earlier. Heineken, he came out and played like, you know, he was good, man.
He had him in the game.
Why wasn't he the starter from? I mean, I feel like he could have got a shot. Like, I mean, he looked way better than Haskins. Obviously,
you know what that is. You know what that is, though. You can't play him in front of Haskins.
I feel you. I guess.
But he played well, man. He played really well. You know, Chase Young. Young boy didn't show up, man.
He didn't show up. It looked like he got hurt towards the end, too, man.
Well, it was a full quarter. I'm talking about like the first three quarters. Like, it was rough for him, man. He wanted Brady. He couldn't get to 12. But then again, that's what I'm saying. Like, so when you throw that out there into the media, like, it's you got to understand that boys, like the opposing team, they're talking about that. And I know BA. I know BA in the meeting, just being with him. I know he put that out there. He put it to the O-line, like, look, this is what this young boy is saying. So again, like, when you do stuff like that, when you talk that shit like that, like, I love it. Don't get it twisted. I love when you do it.
I was about to say, we both said we loved it.
Yeah, we both, I love it. But shit, when them lights come on, you gotta see something.
We got to. You put a little extra pressure on yourself, just like, you know, Schuster with the juju with the you know, the Browns comment, which, you know, he showed up and played ball. He played tough.
Yeah.
You got to show up, man. But hey, Chase Young, he was your rookie defensive player of the year pick.
He was.
Had a great rookie year. First great NFL year. Playoff action. And they played well, man. It was the game until the fourth quarter. You know, Tom Brady and the guys came down and sealed it. But you know, I'm excited about that Brady AB connection going forward, man. Like, I'm glad to see AB back in the league, back doing his thing. Mike Evans made some huge plays. He a tough cat, man. Tough cat. Fought through the injuries, came out, made some huge plays. Chris Godwin, he made some big plays too, but.
He had a lot of drops. Yeah. And then don't forget
Cameron Brate.
Bro. Yeah.
Fournette stepped in there with Jones. Jones messed his quad up before the game. You know, Fournette stepped in there and balled.
Think about this. You got Godwin, Evans, and AB on the outside, right? You got Gronk, Brate, and OJ Howard is hurt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, just imagine an offseason when you get them boys working together.
Them boys healthy, man. And Brady beating Father Time right now, man. 43 years old. He's moving around in the pocket as well as ever. Making throws, more throws down the field than he ever has in his career. Obviously, you know, going to different systems with BA.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they playing ball and they were missing. Who were they missing? They were missing obviously Ronald Jones on offense. They were missing Devin White on defense, who, yeah, you know, all pro talent. But you know, the secondary was kind of, I don't know, a little iffy. Heineke, yeah, you know, he was making
some plays,
man. Yeah. That would be my only area of concern.
Because then next week, you know, they got another matchup with Drew Brees, man. So
yep, part three.
So it's going to be a good matchup. It's going to be tough
to beat Brady three times in the same year, though.
For sure. But, you know, Drew Brees and that offense, man, they looking good. So, you know, Tampa defense, man, they're going to have to come out and play well.
That's a fact. Who, number 11 for the Saints, stepped up and made some plays, too.
He made some plays.
Made some big plays, man. But we're going to see. Mike Evans, a top three receiver? Nah, I wouldn't say top three.
But you know what I like about him, though? His consistency, bro.
Yeah.
Like, 7 years, 1,000 yards, his first 7 years, he's consistent. And I'll take consistency over shit in the league. If you can give me somebody who's consistent, I know what I'm going to get week in, week out, year in, year out, shit. Put him against anybody, but top three right now, yeah, that's gonna be rough with D-Hop, Devontae Adams, shit, Diggs. Man, you got a lot of guys out there. A
lot of talent, man. Keep Evans out of that slot, though, man. Keep him on the inside, man. Put AB and Godwin in that slot. Let them boys work. But hey, I hope Godwin got them playoff butterflies or whatever it is. We know it get different when them lights come on, but it was, you know, you gotta step up, be better than that. He made some plays, though.
Nah, he definitely did.
As you go on, the road gets tougher. Man, Rams, Seahawks, man.
Seahawks. We both had the Seahawks, but you've been talking about it the past couple weeks, just as far as the Seahawks offense and how you feel as though they haven't been clicking. Like what you think it was?
Matt, look, Bash, this is a question right here. Is Russ broken? That's to say, I wouldn't say he's broken, but man, he I feel like they fell off a cliff, that offense. You know, obviously that Rams defense,
top notch,
unbelievable. I was on the train 2 years ago saying Aaron Donald's the best defensive player that I've ever seen. I didn't watch Bruce Smith, I didn't watch Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, and those guys, but from the players that I've watched, Aaron Donald's right up there. Troy Aikman came out and said, hey, I played against Reggie White. I played against Lawrence Taylor. It's the best defensive player I've ever seen. So you got him. You got Ramsey, who's played at the all-pro level all season. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys in that secondary, man, Darius Williams, Hill, yeah. Jay Johnson, like all them boys. That pick Darius Williams had, man, I only seen one other guy pick off a screen like that. His name was Darius, too. Only thing was he had a bad wheel, so he couldn't finish that pick six. But nah, yeah, but man, them boys, man, they playing ball.
You seen that coming though, that pick. If you could it just happened, you know, with DK on the sideline going crazy. I want the ball. So obviously, you know, Russ sees that, you know, Pete Carroll, OC sees that. All right, you know, we definitely got to get DK the ball. And like I was saying, like you look at the formation, you look at who's moving, and where they're moving to. Like, why would DK be motioning all the way out there? You know what I mean? You already know it's a screen. So yeah, for him to be able to diagnose that play and not be afraid to go make that play, shit, I loved it, man.
He was 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, went broke on that, didn't break stride. That was, man, that was an amazing play. But yeah, man, that the Seahawks, man, I don't know what happened, man. That was tough. And the Rams came in the game. So I picked the Seahawks to win that game, picked them to cover the 3 points. Yep. Rams came into the game with Wofford as a starting guy. He got hurt. You know, Jamal Adams knocked him out the game. And then Goff comes in the game, like, you know, and plays I mean, he looked like he could have played from the jump. I didn't get if, you know, Wofford was looking good too, you know, with the start. Obviously, he brings a different dynamic with it, you know, being able to use his legs. But I'm like, damn, did Goff just get benched? Like, what's going on here, man?
It's some shit. It's some shit brewing over there about that, bro.
Something right about that.
Yeah.
I know he was 12 days off surgery, you know, dislocation and broken thumb, but we know shit. Everybody playing through some shit, especially on the playoffs. Like, quarterback, you always say quarterback got to be the toughest guy on the team. You know, he was out there, so I don't understand why he wouldn't run out that tunnel and take the first snap. Like, that was a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. So, D Butt, I'm throwing a GM hat on you right now. Where does the Seahawks go from here? What do you need? Yeah. You throw the GM hat on. Where do the Seahawks go from here?
Well, shit, we done gave up. Some draft picks. Yep. But, you know, since I am the Seahawks GM, I done hit on plenty non-first round draft picks. So we got to build this defense up. We got to draft some studs that come in and play immediately. I need
on the front.
My first two picks might be on the front. First two picks on the front. We got to find find somebody in free agency, get another corner. You know, got to figure out what we're going to do with Shaquille Griffin out there, who's I think is a very good young corner. You got Diggs back there. I like him in the post. Obviously, we gave up a lot for Jamal Adams, so we got to figure out how we're going to lock him up. But yeah, we got to build this front up, man. We got to draft a replacement for Bobby Wagner soon. That front seven, you got to fix that front seven. Front seven, tight end, O-line. Front seven, O-line, tight end. That's what we got to address this offseason. I mean, bro, we got to – I don't know. Do we get another play caller for Russ? I feel like the Seahawks in the playoffs were at best when Russ was improvising. I don't think – now, we know he does that great, but that's not what I don't want to have to depend. We've seen too many good play callers with the Bills and the Packers and like obviously the Chiefs. Like, we got some very good play callers out here. So, you know, we gotta get some good plays out here, man.
Nah, I'm with you. Man, let's go to these Coach Bills, man.
Oh, man. What's your thoughts on that? Because we talked right after that game. You know, I feel like that was them 2 weeks ago, but we talked right after that game. That was tough, man. That's too good of a team for the Colts to go to be one and done in the playoffs. Too good a team. What you think?
But to lose in that fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of questionable. You know, obviously I'm at home on the couch watching the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was just some things that I was just, you know, scratching my head about. And, you know, I hit you and like, yo, like, what's up? So, for one, you miss a field goal, right? Cool. That's 3 points. You got to
now, what about when they went for it? After losing, you know, 2-3 yards in that bullshit-ass toss play to Jonathan Taylor, you go for it on 4th and 4.
So, that's what I'm about to touch on. So, first off. You run a toss play, right?
Mm-hmm.
JT, he's running the ball well downhill. You just previously scored, you was down there, and you gave him the rock, and he scored. Do the same.
Downhill.
Cool, you don't. It's 4th down. Now, I get, you know, you rolling the dice, you know what I mean? Actually, the play was there. You know, Phillip Rivers missed him. But for me, kick the field goal. You know what I mean? You kick the field goal, you up 13-7. You know, you got to kick the ball off. Hopefully the defense stops and you go into the half up 13-7. But you want to score down there because I think it's a different game now. You score down there, you up 17-7, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing. All right, that was questionable as far as the toss and the go for it. All right, if you kick that field goal, boom. So you missed six. Now, you missed a field goal. You didn't kick a field goal. That could have been 6 points. Or if you scored, that could have been 10 points.
A 10-point swing.
So that's huge. All right. Second half, right? Second half, I'm going to go straight to the end of the game. So you still have – it's tough. You know, you got – you don't have a lot of time on the clock. But then we always work on two-minute last plays, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You line up three receivers in the boundary to run your sideline play. Not once. Not once, but multiple times. Like, why not go to the field?
And you know, as a defense, hold on. You know, as a defense, we prepare for those. You know, no timeouts. We know you got to work the sideline. We know what plays coming. You know, so if you give us that, all right, give us something else on that second. You gave us the same look on the Leslie Frazier coach, who I think that Bills defense was
humming.
Prepared. Great. They were prepared. You know, they were prepared. Frank came out after the game and said they didn't expect the adjustment on that toss play where Teron Johnson blew it up. And instead of running with that flash motion, he just passed it off to the safety, which you should do.
Yeah.
You got to try to stay anchored as much as possible down in that little red. Played that play great. But like you said, man, as soon as they got into that red zone, I'm going to go back to that real quick. As soon as they got to the red zone after the catch of Mo Alie-Cox, get a ball downhill, man. Go through 28, man. He's been your best player for the last 5-6 weeks, man. Go downhill. Don't try to get cute. The fourth down play, Pittman was open. You know what? I didn't mind him going for the fourth down. I know a lot of people don't like the fourth down play, fourth down call, especially after losing yards on third down. But, you know, once you get in that tight red, sometimes losing yards or backing up a little bit.
Yeah, it gives you more space, space, you know, more space to work.
If you're going to throw the ball, so Phillip Rivers just got him. It would have been a great, great, great catch. Phillip Rivers got to make a better throw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Frank, I mean, he made some questionable call, but go ahead and finish. Go ahead and finish that, your point you were making.
Just the end of the game, man. Just the way that was handled, man. It was just I was just on the couch like what you doing? And just me being on the defensive side of the ball, and like you just said, you just kind of mentioned it. Like, we're waiting on that. We already know what's going to happen. We know it's going to be three levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one about 5 yards and 15. Then it's going to be one down the field. So as a defense, you already know what's coming. And then to be able to do that in the boundary, the short side of the field, you're not giving anybody room to work, man. And then obviously, you know, with the fumble. Well, they didn't call it a fumble.
Refs blew that. That was a fumble if I ever seen one.
Yeah, man. So that the Colts game was tough for me. Obviously, the Bills, they came out and made plays when they were supposed to make plays. Even, you know, we didn't mention Trey jumping off sides. That was huge.
That was the worst play of the game.
Yeah, that was ugly. Cause I know. So
what are you telling the D lineman?
What are you telling the D lineman
in the huddle? As soon as we get in this huddle,
Dejo.
What does Dejo mean?
Don't jump off sides.
Like that. I mean, and I guess to his defense, why he jumped.
No.
I'm gonna tell you why he jumped though. And Phillip was doing this all day, but Phillip was snapping the ball at zero. So, you know, a lot of them defensive linemen, sometimes they'll look at that play clock, knowing when it's deep in the shot. So, if you watch it back, you'll see the clock had went from 1 to 0. So, he was like, you know, I'm out. Like, the ball coming. But, like you said, 4th and 3.
Don't move.
In that situation, you got to go off the ball. Like, you got to – like, it's Dejo, it's earmuffs, you know. And everybody in the huddle should be, hey, earmuffs. That was a back-breaking play because that was to end the first half. That was right after they failed on the 4th and 4, and the Bills went 96 yards down the field. 13 made some incredible sideline catches on that drive, by the way.
He did.
Josh Allen, it came down to it. Phillip Rivers had a good game. He didn't turn the ball over. That was my three keys to the game was get Taylor and Hines 35-plus touches. They didn't do that. They only got 30 combined. Phillip Rivers, don't throw any interceptions. He didn't, you know, he played a pretty clean game for the most part. And then, and my third key was we got to create three splash plays / turnovers on defense and special teams. We didn't do that. So, you know, if Josh Allen on the flip side, they couldn't get anything going in their run game, in their traditional run game. So he was like, you know, it's the playoffs. You know, it's all on the line. I'll be the run game,
and that
I'll
was
be the pass game, and that's what he did. That's what the big time players got to do.
And that was another thing for me when I was watching the game early. You was able to see Josh Allen, you know, move the sticks with his legs. And you might not, you know, looking like the game from home, you might not think it's a big deal, but those rush lanes are important.
Huge.
Like the rush lanes are important. Everybody up there has to be on the same page. You can't be running past the quarterback. And even if, you know, you got some type of stunts, you got to stay in your rush lane. So you can't, you don't create those lanes where he can escape and run, man. And, you know, early in the game, it was kind of, you know, an issue. I think they got better towards the end of the game, but it was a great game, man. Great game, guys fought, man. But it was just self-inflicted situations for the Colts where I felt kind of hurt them.
Can't do it, man. We needed our big time players to step up more, man. That's the game we both played for BA. Something BA always say, man. These big games, like your 5-star players, got to step up,
mm-hmm.
and be 5-star players, whether that's on defense, on offense, on special teams, especially on the road. And we didn't get that enough, but you know, hats off to the Bills, man. Their first, I think, playoff win in 25 years, something like that.
A long ass time.
Yeah, for the Browns, their first playoff win in 26 years. So
long ass time.
Yeah, man. It you know, outside of Pittman yesterday, the receiver group didn't really show up. I don't remember the receiver group really making any big plays outside of Pittman Mason. I'm going to say he had like damn near 100 yards. Jack Doyle played well. And I just think you got to get the ball to Hines and Taylor just a little, like you got to run through that. But man, so, that was tough loss, man.
That was tough. Damn.
Tough loss. That was
I lost money on that game.
Yeah. I mean, I picked the Bills to win it. I had to stick with them. I picked them to win it. I was 3-3 on the weekend, so I broke even. But I picked them to win the game. I knew the Colts would cover, and they had a possibility of winning as well. But Bills just made more plays down the stretch, man.
Indeed. So what's up, man? Where does the Colts go from here as far as your quarterback position, man? Do you keep Phillip? I seen this morning where Frank was like, you know, he wanted Phillip to be his starter. Start a 2021 season or whatever the case may be.
And Frank talking. Frank full of shit. Frank won Carson Wentz, man.
Carson Wentz.
Frank won Carson Wentz. And I think he's gonna try to stand on the table to get him. That's my two cents. Obviously Phillip is his guy. And he said today I feel like I want Phillip Rivers as my quarterback. But we know how them conversations go. We know how it goes in the offseason. I think they would be remiss to not try and find their quarterback of the future this offseason, whether it's in free agency, a trade, or in the draft. But they got to and they picked 21st. They got some other pieces that they can move up in kind of that middle of the first round to draft somebody like the Chiefs did when they went up to 10 and got Mahomes. Texans did a few years ago when they jumped up a few spots to get Watson. So, you know, they can make some moves, get creative in the draft, or try to find somebody in free agency.
I like Stafford. If you somehow, somewhere,
he locked up though.
He locked, man. Make something happen.
Stafford ain't going nowhere.
Make something happen, man. Yeah.
Well, hold on, man. Give me 2 minutes. You gotta be right back.
D-Buck got to go take his bathroom break. D-Buck act like he 65 years old, the weak ass bladder. But bro, Zach, I've been saying this for the longest, man. It's a notion out here that Matt Stafford's not nice. Stafford's been in a horrible situation for a long, long time. And like you said, you put him on a team where he got some weapons, he got a good organization that's willing to try to win some ball games, and I think he will flourish. I'm with you, Zach. Man, what else y'all got going on? First rounder. My My guy definitely needs some vitamins. And shit getting ridiculous. It'd be the same time every show. Every Monday, it'd be the same time. I'm gonna have a little intervention and shit with my man D-Bo when he get back. My guy Rod, what's going on? He watching football team, so I know damn well you'll take Matt Stafford out there.
Nah, man, you know, had to you know, distance learning, had to go check on the kids.
Well, that's what it is.
You know what I mean? Possibly vitamin break, possibly bathroom break. It's a conspiracy theory. Who knows? But talking about these quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, the news broke, and you know.
Go ahead and get that weak-ass Miami Dolphin hat.
You know what I mean? I'm a lifetime Dolphin, so. They talking about Deshaun may come down. He may waive that no trade clause and come down here to the yayo. To my trading tour, a couple other picks. What you think about that?
I'm not as high on that. Like if I'm the Houston Texans, I'm not taking that. I'm not agreeing to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not agreeing to that. So, I mean, you can throw that damn Miami hat back where you got it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But
my shit a little dusty too.
Hey, so if I'm Houston, that's a downgrade to me. You know what I mean? It depends what else I'm gonna get in that package. You know what I'm saying? But from the jump, I'm not agreeing to that.
I mean, yeah, you got to get, you know, Dolphins got some picks now. They got the third pick, right? Got the third pick. They got another first round pick. And then if you give them the following year's first round pick as well with Tua, which, you know, I'm not high on Tua.
You know, anymore.
I'm not high on Tua anymore.
Make sure we clear that up. Anymore. ASAP.
So, God. I mean, you get Tua plus, and that's the same team they traded them picks for in the first place with Tunsil. So
2-3-1. Yeah. I might got to think about it now.
That'll be good for the NFL, man. Watching Watson and Josh Allen go at it twice a year for the next 10 years. But we'll see, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like Rohan said, man, I don't see Nick Caserio. You coming in your first year as a GM, you trade away the franchise.
Yeah,
that's a bad look, unless it turns out great, but that's a bad look off the rip.
Yeah. You'll be on, you'll have to get security outside the crib,
man. And some news around that hiring, Nick hiring. So, the Texans they hired a search firm, you know, to find the GM, which I hate when teams do that. Like, that just shows your incompetence. Like, if you don't know the business enough to where you can't find a damn GM. Oh, see, just cause you hating,
bruh.
That says something about you. But the Texans,
that's some Walgreens jokes. Your grandma used to always get. Yeah, your grandma had like 10 of them jokes laying around the crib.
He's my Reed Joe. He's probably $9.99. But yeah, man, the Texans keep going. They keep going to this New England well, man, trying to get some of that Patriots magic, but we'll see how that shit work out, man. But it was two other guys that they was recommending, somebody from the Steelers, and I believe Louis Riddick. Louis Riddick, I think, was the second line. They went with damn Nick. But I told you, I was with Nick, man. Nick, solid dude, man. He done wore many, many hats in that New England organization for the last 20 years, so I think he'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pepe. Chill, Pepe.
Hey, we got an overreaction. Well, it's overreaction Monday. So, what you think about this? JJ Watt to Pittsburgh next season.
What was that?
J.J. Watt to Pittsburgh next season. You know, it came out. Coach Thomas said you can't have enough Watts. Yeah.
They already got. They got two. They got Derek too.
Yeah. What you think?
Hell nah, man. What J.J. come over there with that big ass price tag? Give you 9-10 games? Nah. Better keep T.J. Lock him up. Knock him up, man.
Drop the plug on the beanies. Shit, let me highlight them first, man. See if
they is kind of tough.
Chill out. You know, I got all colors. I had these for a minute. Let me figure out where I got these from. S dot M dot. I'm gonna get back with you. It's been a minute.
What else we got, man? What else y'all got, man? Before we get up out of here.
Overreaction Monday. Put in the chat, man, who y'all got y'all Super Bowl predictions. Now that we, you know, first weekend of the offs, who y'all got going to the big show?
To the show.
You still like the Bills over the Chiefs, D-Butt?
Man, I'm sticking with the Bills, man. I'm sticking with him, bro. You know, Chiefs obviously got that championship pedigree. It's hard to repeat, though, man. I'm sticking with the Bills, man. It might just be their year.
A dot Madiba, because I don't want to butcher your first name. Ravens and Packers.
Ravens.
It's the one
thing I don't like about the Ravens, bro. Like, give you this scenario, because you know most good NFL games come down to a 2-minute drive. So if the Ravens had a ball, 1:57 left on the clock, 2 timeouts, minus 23 yard line to win the game, I don't have faith in that. I just don't. I saw the 2-minute drive right before the half against the Titans. As soon as they came, I'm like, yo, what are they doing? Like, the clock management, the play calling, the weapons you have at receiver. Like, I can't put the Ravens in that situation.
You got a playmaker with the ball in his hand every snap. You never know.
Yeah, you do, but
Tom Austin. Whoa. He jumped off that mountain he on over there. The Browns and the Packers. You like the Browns like that, huh, Tom? Me and Tom, we was hollering on Twitter last night. They got it's a tough matchup coming up next week or this week.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Green Bay, presented by State Farm.
That's why I'm at with it, Craig.
You with Kansas City, Green Bay, so you're going with the favorites. Hold it down.
I'm going with the favorites. But I'm excited to see what Lamar I'm excited for all the teams, real shit. Just because the Bills look good.
Side to see with the Bills Packers, man.
Bills Packers.
Bills Packers. Somebody said Rams. I don't trust the quarterback to make that run. Scott Bumgarner.
Man, the Rams, man. AD, man, got some broken ribs. I know he gonna play.
But, yeah, he got that torn rib cartilage. You ever had that? Rib.
Nah, I had a bruised sternum. Whew. That shit was, bruh. That shit was the worst, bruh.
That Bruce Sternum, they put like a little extra pad in there.
Man, you couldn't do shit with that.
They said these are girls right here. We'd be on the clubhouse with a merry week. Yeah, they like the Ravens knocking the Bills out next week. I don't know about that.
Okay.
Gonna be a good. We said though, Ravens was the hottest team.
Hottest team coming into the division
coming in at least. I like the Bills. They were the hottest team to me. But after that, the Ravens.
Man, we had a man to man alum. Man, he out there putting that work in. So I definitely want to see them go far.
Who that?
Steph.
Oh yeah. Diggs, you know.
Diggs, he out there putting that work in.
I think we see a Brady Rodgers NFC championship game though.
You got them beating the Saints.
I got Brady beating the Saints. Brady not losing 3 times to the same team. I don't see it happening. You get Devin White back, hopefully. We'll see. The Saints, I don't know though. Saints, Sean Payton, man, he done done a tremendous job coaching, man. Guys, the quarterback.
He gonna draw some shit up.
Old running back room been out. Like, he, whatever it was, he done kept it moving, man. So, you don't know. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, one of the better slot defenders in the league. He got Miller kicked out the game yesterday. So,
yeah, you gotta know your personnel. Like, this is the guy.
You gotta know your personnel.
That's gonna get under your, try to get it under your skin. Now, you gotta know your personnel.
Man, I'm looking for. I hope Jalen Ramsey, but it's Green Bay Ram games though. I hope Jalen Ramsey follow. You think gonna follow Tay?
Man, what you mean hope? Like, no question.
Got to happen. Ooh, yeah, that's a matchup. You paying him 20 a year?
Yeah, matchup. That's what you bring him for.
You paying him 20? If Brady win this Super Bowl, off the rails. Tone and Jim, shout out Tone. If Brady wins this Super Bowl, I mean, I feel like he already the consensus GOAT, but that'll be, wow. That'll be, man. I don't know what Gardner said to these dudes, man. Same spot on the field.
Gardner Johnson probably doing his homework too. He probably researching the girlfriends, the moms, yeah, and all that. Like, he probably talking greasy out there.
He says something. Nah, Brady, I think Brady coming back regardless, Tom. If he win this bowl or not, he coming back.
Yeah, because like I said, just with the weapons he got, like, shit, he doing this with no offseason. Just imagine, you know, they take a vacation for about a week, they get the rocking, they get a little bit better chemistry. Nah, you tripping, Matt.
Who you liking this matchup? Matthew said Devontae is going to scorch Ramsey. I don't know about that.
I like the matchup, so that's what I'm going to leave it with. I like the matchup. I don't think nobody's going to get too crazy. You know, Devontae, he'll get a couple catches. Ramsey, he's going to get some, do what he do, but I don't think it's going to be a situation where
Devontae's good on good,
man. Yeah, yeah. Nah, I ain't going to say that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, we about to get up out of here. Appreciate y'all as always. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Go check the pod out, man. We got special guests coming up this week. Very special guest coming up this week. Had a phenomenal year. We'll announce it. We'll announce it probably tomorrow. But yeah, man. First team All Pro. I'll let you know that is the first team All Pro. So we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll drop something for y'all on Wednesday. Then we'll be live again, 11 a.m. on Friday.
You know what it is. Matchups.
Divisional weekend, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend, man.
Y'all have a good week, man.
Have a great week. We out.
Peace.